To welcome you to this week's Impact Wrestling Press Pass podcast, this is Ross Foreman. Let's first welcome Josh Matthews to the call. Josh, how you doing today?
I'm good, Ross. I'm excited for everyone to hear our guest this week. We don't have a whole lot of new updates, more so just general updates. Obviously, Homecoming is rapidly approaching on January 6th, and then Impact Live on January 7th. Tickets are available now. VIP packages are obviously sold out, but tickets are available. We're adding some cool things to some different sections and different seats that'll be popping up on ImpactWrestling.com probably tomorrow or Monday. And then, you know, we still have Las Vegas on the calendar in February, and we're getting excited for Mexico on January 11th and the 12th, our return to New York in April. So it's all the same updates that you guys heard last week. Nothing really new on the forefront. We've got some great matches we're looking forward to, obviously, at Homecoming. And someone who's been making a lot of waves and traction as of late, as he always does, the last of a dying breed. I think, Ross, that most people are tuned in this week to hear from Eli Drake. So I think we should just go ahead and kick that off with Eli.
Eli Drake, welcome to the call. How you doing today?
Doing all right. Good afternoon, everybody. I want a big show coming up here, Homecoming.
What's been going on with Eli Drake these days? A lot happening. Got into a little bit with their Tommy Dreamer. What's the word from Eli?
You see what's been going on that TV and whatnot. It's there's a thing with the wrestling business these days that I haven't been very happy about. I've said it in interviews and things like that. You get your little, you know, your little flippy nerds and things like that. And a lot of that springs from the hardcore, because everybody feels like they need to do something more dangerous each and every time they get out there. And it's really kind of silly. It's kind of stupid. It's a bunch of violent garbage. It's a bunch of stunts. But the beauty of it is, I mean, if you look at what happened with myself and Tommy Dreamer, if I got to become something to extinguish it, then that's what I do. It's kind of like fighting fire with fire, as they say.
What do you think of those stepping into a hardcore match for yourself?
Not really my choice. Not really something that I look forward to. Not really something that I want to do. But like I said, if I got to do it to take care of something, then of course, then that's what I do.
How do you mentally, or do I say physically, prepare for a hardcore match?
You don't. you pretty much just understand that you're about to go in there and get your ass kicked, and just hope that you're the one that gets the least beat up of the two.
All righty. Well, Eli, we have a room full of callers waiting to talk to you, so let's open up for media questions.
Oh, boy.
I knew that would make your day. So, media, I ask Star 6 if you want to get in queue. Please identify yourself and your media outlet, and one question, and one question alone for Eli.
Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press Star 6.
And just a reminder, Eli, just remember, I was the one who chose the time. Josh wanted to do this at 9 a.m. Eastern time.
Hey, guys. This is Ritu from Sports Kira. First off, Josh, is there any update on your arrival in India?
No, there is no update.
Fantastic. Okay, my question is obviously for Eli. At Bound for Glory, a lot of fans thought that Chris Jericho would answer your open challenge. Is that a match you would have wanted, and what did you think of James Ellsworth who showed up?
Well, hell yeah, I would have wanted that match. That would have been a big marquee match that obviously was getting attention since people thought that that's what it was. And you're talking about a big star known around the world, so that would have been amazing. to bring in Chris Jericho. You got two guys who can talk, two guys who can work. It would have just been pretty damn good chemistry. Obviously, that didn't happen, but never say never. You never know what could happen.
Okay, great. And what did you think of James Ellsworth, who showed up in his place?
Oh, boy. Well, that made it a little bit of an easy hump, if you will, just to get in and out of that one. Although at the same time now, you hear everything going on social media, and probably just a lot of people are glad that it went the way it went. I'll just put it that way.
Okay, final follow-up. Tommy Dreamer became the first man to kick out of the gravy train last week. Was that a sign of respect from you to him?
First and last. Perhaps in a way you could say that. Nobody kicks out of the gravy train.
Thank you so much.
So, Eli, we have to ask you about the gravy train turkey trot. Poor Glenn Gilberti wearing the turkey outfit. What'd you think?
Well, it looked very natural on him. It fit on him very well. I mean, hell, it was a surprise to me that he was even going to be there that day. So then, when you see him in that turkey suit, that's prime Thanksgiving viewing right there.
High ratings, and rumor has it he put one on social media and said that was the highlight of his career.
Oh boy,
you can't be surprised, are you?
Well, I mean, you know, we all got to shoot for the stars, right?
There you go.
Hi, this is Alex from Slam Wrestling. I want to know, what is your greatest wrestling superstition, and do you think it's common among other wrestlers as well?
Superstition?
Yeah.
I've never been much of a superstitious guy myself. I know for a little bit, I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan, and I know that he used to always wear his old Tar Heels practice shorts underneath his Bulls shorts. And so for a little while, I kind of started to mimic that in a sense, just because I really look up to Michael Jordan's spirit, the way that he plays the game, his competitive nature. So I kind of started to do that a little bit as far as like wearing old trunks underneath my my current trunks and stuff like that. But it wasn't really a superstitious thing. Now, some of the other guys running around, I know, look, wrestling is it's a strange brew of some weird-ass people, and I'm not exempt from that. So I'll tell you this. It's basically you are bound to find plenty of superstitious people for sure. I'm not privy to anybody in particular, but I'm not really one to subscribe to superstition myself. Interesting question.
Hi, Eli. It's Lee Med from Live Radio over here in Scotland. Thanks for taking the time, my friend. Now, I was lucky enough, along with my wife, to meet you at Wrestling MediaCon. Since that day, my wife has been, how should I put this, more than smitten with you. So much so I've literally just ordered her a couple of Eli Drake T-shirts from ImpactJewelerStore.com. So I know what she's getting, what that she wants for Christmas, but what do you want for Christmas?
Oh man, that's a wonderful question. The last few years I haven't had an answer to. I really have shaped a life that kind of has given me everything I want lately. I don't know. You know what I want? You know what I want for Christmas? I want to go to a cabin in the woods and a snowy adventure and ride dog sleds. I know it sounds crazy and out of the ordinary, but that's what I want to do. I want to ride some snowmobiles. I want adventure for Christmas. That's what I want. Let's see, what else? Peace on earth, everybody. And your wife. Can I get your wife for Christmas? Can you do that?
No, you can't. You cannot get my wife. And that is a fact of life.
Yes.
Cheers, Eli.
Yes, indeed.
You know, as long as we're talking the holidays, what about New Year's? We had an interesting debate last week. Ethan Page is not a big New Year's resolution person at all. Doesn't think that far in advance. What about you? Do you care much about New Year's resolutions?
I've never subscribed to New Year's resolutions. To me, it's kind of like if you're going to do something, I'm going to do it now. I'm not going to wait until some arbitrary date to be like, hey, I'm going to become, I'm going to decide to become an accountant, or I'm going to become really good at math, or I'm going to lose 10 pounds starting January 1st. Like if there's something like that that I want to do, then I'm going to start the ball rolling like now. That's just a habit of mine. Now, as far as the celebrations, I know, there seems to be a weird backlash of people lately just being like, I'd rather just have a quiet night in on New Year's Eve. I always host the most fun, the biggest, the funnest party at my place here in Hollywood. I've got friends from other wrestling friends and whatnot who are like, man, I'm canceling bookings that weekend just so I can come to the party. It's always a good time over here.
What's the highlight?
The highlight, like, man, I don't know if I could pinpoint a highlight. It's just that there's going to be a lot of pretty girls. There's going to be plenty of good, fun guys over here. It's just going to be a good time. There's a beautiful view of the city. I'm up on the 11th floor, and I'm kind of like right over, kind of by the Hollywood sign, and there's a nice view of the hills and stuff like that. So it's just really cool because then you hear everybody counting down at the same time, and we're all doing the countdown. There's drinks flowing. It's a good time.
All righty.
Hi, Eli. This is Nick Hausman from Wrestling Inc. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat today.
Well, thanks, sir.
I was just wondering, as we head into homecoming here, if you had any personal favorite memories from the early days of Impact / TNA.
Well, I mean, if you look at from the beginning, it started as a pay-per-view only type of thing. And then just the fact, to me, the big thing for me is just watching whether it's a performer or a company themselves kind of move on to a next level. The big thing for me was watching it go from pay-per-view only, simply to move on then to a weekly television show and get that spot. Because in a certain way, you almost didn't expect that. You see, here's this company trying to kind of creep their way in. And I mean, that stuff goes 50-50, and a lot of times it doesn't work in their favor. So to see that go from, the pay-per-view thing to then finally getting weekly TV, I think that's amazing. You watch the development of different stars, guys who've moved on, guys who are still there like Abyss, and just the cavalcade of names and guys and girls who come in and out of that company. I don't know that I can pinpoint one big moment, but I mean, you look at the debuts of different people and the development of certain people, again, who've either moved on, stayed, whatever, and now moving into the new era. It's just such an evolution that's really cool to see.
Now, as a follow-up to that, you talk about the evolution from pay-per-view to television with Leap there. Going into 2019, there's a lot of talk about, what television home Impact could have. Do you think that's important, or do you think that there's a lot to be developed here on the internet side of things, somewhere to play around with there?
I think right now a hybrid is probably the best approach. I know that I feel like TV is kind of losing a little bit of its luster just because everybody is so into streaming. So I think finding a streaming partner would be great whilst also having a TV, because at the end of the day, TV is still king. Will that hold on for much longer? I don't know. But as far as advertisers, sponsors, and whatnot, there is money in streaming, but there's also still a lot of money in TV. So I think TV is very important. I think it's just more widely, seen in the sense of, let's say, rural areas or maybe more low-income areas where maybe people don't have smartphones, internet, whatever. I got to tell you, my dad doesn't even have – I got him a smartphone for Christmas last year. He threw the damn thing out. He doesn't have Wi-Fi. He doesn't even use a computer. So that kind of stuff, like, he's a guy who's only going to catch us on TV. And I know plenty of guys where I'm from, where I originally came from, there's a lot of people that way. So with that being the case, I think television is still very important to reach out to different sects of the audience. But I think also moving in the future, yes, streaming and the internet are so valuable, so necessary, and making our footprint there is absolutely necessary.
Awesome, thank you. And I congratulations, I believe you guys like doubled your YouTube subscribers this year.
Yeah,
I think you guys went,
yeah,
went
I think
to
we just hit 2 million the other day.
That's insane. Congratulations. Looking forward to homecoming, Eli. Thank you for the time.
Hey, Nick, before you run off, I do want to bring, rumor has it that you're going to be joining us in Nashville. And one thing I did want Eli to address is the VIP packages, because Eli is an amazing miniature golfer.
Oh, boy.
Did you win the miniature golf that the time in Orlando?
I won it the first time. The second time, I think it might have been Desmond Xavier.
Desmond Xavier. But
he
you
might
also,
have, I think it was him and I in the finals last year. He ousted me.
But you've also been a regular on the trivia front.
Yes. I've had to advise that even a couple times. Remember?
Well, you think you have an understanding of how the questions are laid out is what you're saying.
Oh, well, I pick up on patterns and all that.
All right. So, what do you think about them?
I think it's a great experience. You're looking at a very interactive experience where the fans actually get to literally hang out with the stars for who knows how long, whether it's 30 minutes, an hour, or whatever it is on a little mini golf course. But always a fun time. Everybody's real cool. It's always a fun time. Everybody's enjoying themselves and actually getting to get out there and swing the clubs around or get a little knowledge out there. Actually, even in my own right, I kind of like just hearing the answers to some of these questions in the trivia, because I'm like shocked at some of the people who some of these things are being attributed to. Whether you find out somebody was in the musical theater and knows how to play the piano or whatever it is, always a cool experience, even from my end. And I'm on the talent end of it, so always a good time.
Wait, are you saying Ross, did you bring this up because I get to play mini golf with Eli? Is that why you brought this up?
I can't guarantee that. But you might have to go one-on-one trivia with Eli.
That's fine. I'll take him down either way. Doesn't matter. I'm down.
He talks a big game on the phone.
Right. That's all right. He might be right, actually. I pay so little attention half the time I'm trying to answer these questions, and it's a complete shot in the dark.
Yeah, not for me. I know I'm well lit. I know where I'm going here. Ball goes in hole, questions get answered. I'm no dummy.
Well, oh, boy. Well, that's yet to be seen.
All right, we'll see you in Nashville, Nick.
Yeah, I'll see you guys. I'm sorry I won't be there Saturday night, but I'll be there all Sunday and Monday. I'm looking forward to it. And I believe you all will be able to follow my VIP adventures somewhere on the ImpactWrestling.com website. So look forward to pumping that out.
VIP Adventures.
Hi, Eli. It's Rory from Team Venom Media in the UK. We spoke to you several times across the last year when you'd won the world title, when you were going to face Johnny Impact, and also in person at the WrestleMediaCon in Manchester. You've had a tremendous year all round. What's been your personal highlights of 2018?
At this point, it's just kind of 2018. You're looking at the personal highlight for me. I'd say probably coming up with the tag team titles with Scott Steiner. Who'd have thought? Definitely something that wasn't in the cards, something that wasn't planned. And then out of the blue, here he comes. So I think for now, that's probably my highlight. Or maybe last week with Tommy Dreamer. That was a hell of a match. Other than that, I feel like 2018's kind of been a feeling out year. It's kind of been getting my bearings back and figuring out where I fit, things like that. But at the same time, just kind of enjoying what I'm doing, where I'm going. I've been traveling a lot more, going all over the damn world doing this wrestling thing, and it's an amazing thing.
That's awesome. Thank you. I hope you have a good Christmas and Happy New Year and all that.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, Ryan Bowman from TheGorillaPosition.com. Eli, you and Ross were talking about the Turkey Trot earlier. Now, you've hosted it a couple times. It's been very successful. Would you say in terms of pro wrestling, you'd now be considered Mr. Thanksgiving?
boy. Hadn't even considered that in the least. But if we want to call him Mr. Thanksgiving, let's call him Mr. Thanksgiving. Hell of a limiting title, only once a year, but sure, why not?
Thanks, man.
Hello, this is Carlos from Indie Pro Wrestling, IndiePW.com. How are you doing today, Eli?
Doing all right, man. What's going on with you?
Not much. So my question for you would be, what do you plan on doing life after wrestling? I think I can picture you doing like movies and stuff like that, but what other passions do you think you might be able to do?
Man, that's a great question. This has been really my only true passion in life. Like trying to get myself amped up for anything else, is a real chore. Wrestling really has always seemed to do it for me. There's just something about that. But the reality is you can't do this forever. So, you know, I've been looking at other things and other options, if you will. Fortunately, I've been very good with my money. I've saved my money. I've invested. You know, I'm looking into real estate as far as, you know, buying properties, rentals, things like that. Just kind of give myself nice passive income. At the same time, I mean, I've got a pretty good mind for the business. So, I mean, I don't think that it's out of question to have any kind of a role backstage, whether it be creative or maybe helping people with promos or producing or whatever. At the same time, I have recently hooked up with two new agents, one for commercials, one for TV and movies, so you never, ever know where I might pop up.
Awesome. Thank you for your time, and I'll see you at the events over there in Nashville.
Homecoming.
Definitely.
Impact Wrestling earlier this year. Can you tell me what went into that decision making? As there's a big change in the wrestling landscape maybe coming, and you stuck with Impact. Also to Josh or Ross, can you maybe update me on Sanjay Dutt's injury status? He's missed almost all year. With planning on coming back or not?
Brother, you cut out from the beginning of that and then again in the end, at least for me. I don't know if that was for anybody else.
You did cut out. Can you ask questions again?
Yeah, I will. Eli, you re-signed with Impact Wrestling this year. Can you tell me what went into that decision as we see a changing landscape? And for Josh and Ross, any update on when Sanjay could return to the ring, or is he pretty much sticking to his backstage duties?
Well, as far as my decision to stay, I know a lot of people were kind of tolling the death knell in a certain way for me as far as my stay at Impact. And at certain times, I even thought that maybe I was going to move on. I had offers or opportunities, but I kind of just did an audit of my life at the time, and just figured that I enjoy where I'm living right now. I enjoy the money that I'm making. I'm living comfortably. So at that point, it was kind of just like, why change anything right now? If I decide in the next year or so to change anything, then of course I still have that option. But for now, it was just kind of, let's step back for a second, look at my life. Do I like it? Yep. Okay. Well, then I'm not going anywhere.
Your question for, regarding Sanjay, I know he's actually coming in right on a year since his foot surgery, and haven't heard if he's anxious to get back in the ring. I know he certainly can, but when he does, don't have an answer for you on that.
Thank you, guys.
Hey guys, Riju from SportsKina again. So, Eli, you teamed up with Scott Steiner earlier this year. Do you have any funny stories of Scott Steiner?
Not so much. I mean, he was pretty much straight business. It was, you know, come in, do the work, and go home. I mean, just the one thing that I think I've told people before was just the fact that I did not expect him to do a Frankensteiner off the top rope. And originally, even when I was kind of the one who planted the idea, because when he first walked in that day for our match with LAX, I was like, hey, man, you got one more Frankensteiner in you? And he kind of looked at me and he was like, yeah, I think I can do that. And my mind was blown. And I'm like, wow, okay. So he's trying to figure out how he can do it from a standing position. And then maybe 10 seconds later, he's like, you know what? No, forget that. I'll just do it off the top. I'm like, holy crap. This guy's for real right now. So just the idea that here's this guy who hasn't done a Frankensteiner in who knows how long, and now he's coming in and doing top rope Frankensteiners and just putting his body on the line. That's cool to me. I dig that.
Thank you so much.
There's a question here to come in from Steve Jones. Eli, he would like to know your thoughts and your takes on the world title match at Homecoming, Johnny Impact against Brian Cage.
Quite frankly, it doesn't really mean too much to me. I'm not in it. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's a little overdue to have me back in the title picture. I should be right up there with those guys. But at the end of the day, I'm sure it's going to be a hell of a match. You're going to see a lot of cool little flippy moves and stuff like that. And I'm sure on Brian Cage's behalf, it's going to be 800 different moves he's going to get in. It's going to be a good time for everybody, I'm sure. But really the highlight of the night is probably going to be Eli Drake versus Abyss. So, I mean, we'll find out what happens.
Hi, Ryan Bowman from thegorillaposition.com. Again, you mentioned kind of idolizing Michael Jordan, and we've heard about your mini golf prowess. You seem like a guy who's a tremendous all-around athlete. What other sports did you play in the past, and are you still active in any other sports outside of the ring now?
Yeah, I played basketball really regularly. Always loved that. My dream in middle school, my mom asked me what I wanted to be when I was going to, she was like, you know, you're starting to get into high school, you got to start thinking about what you want to do when you grow up. And I was like, well, Mom, I'm going to be a basketball player. And she was like, that's not real. You're not going to do that, which, you know, also is what she said about wrestling. But the difference with the two is that with basketball, I quickly found out I wasn't as good as I thought. basically, I would shoot around all the time in my neighborhood by myself. I was the only boy living in the neighborhood. It was a bunch of other girls, and they weren't interested in basketball. So, it's just me out there shooting by myself thinking I'm the man until I got in and started playing with other people and found out I wasn't that great. I'm not bad, but I wasn't that great. But I grew up playing baseball, football. My senior year in high school, I ran cross country. Oddly enough, ended up being third on the team, even though it was the only year I ran, and I got scholarship offers for it, but I didn't take it because I knew that when I went to college, I wanted to start adding muscle on because I actually wanted to consider this wrestling thing, as crazy as that sounds. So I mixed cross country from there. But I tend to have kind of a natural athleticism and pick things up. I don't know that I'm great at any one thing except wrestling. I'm decent at basketball, decent at football, decent at baseball, good enough that I can make most people think I'm good. So that's pretty much good enough.
Well, if you're a hoops guy, what did you think about LeBron coming out your way?
Amazing, and I'm sad that I haven't taken advantage of it yet. I was actually literally just talking to a couple friends about that this morning, about how I need to get some tickets and go to a game sometime soon. Because it's to look at even the way they started the season, I know we're only like a month in, but you look at the way they started, and now being a month in to the way the records turned around, and it looks like they're actually starting to put a little something together. But even that aside, just the level player he is, like, got to go experience that.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Well, to speak a little bit more to Eli's athleticism, Eli, I did witness you in Ottawa. I believe it was it 42 or 48-yard field goal wearing
Oh, yeah.
wearing white pants, and you can address the shoes because they were some high dollar shoe I'd never heard of.
Oh, they were just some nice brown dress shoes, but that was probably what, like a 20.
It was either 42 or 48. I don't remember how many yard field goal it was.
I don't know, but it was I couldn't even believe that I did it when I did it. Truth be told, never kicked a field goal in my life until right then. I've tried to do some punts rather unsuccessfully, but when I kicked that field goal and I watched that son of a bitch go through the uprights, I was downright even amazed with myself. So I'm more of a hands guy. If I can't use my hands, I feel like I'm useless. That's why I've never been a soccer guy. Football for you people in Europe. But as far as like football, American football, I'd rather be on the end of catching the pass than kicking the ball.
You're pretty good at some pass patterns up in Ottawa as well.
Oh, well, I mean, that's just natural, yeah.
Hello, this is Carlos from Indie Pro Wrestling again. I just wanted to know, do you know of any independent wrestling stars that would make a great addition to the Impact Wrestling roster?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really keep my thumb on the pulse of indie wrestling that much. I'll be honest, I barely even watch wrestling at all anymore. I don't watch almost anything, it seems like, anymore. But just from being around, knowing different guys and stuff like that, this guy in SoCal I really like. I mean, he's a friend of mine, but it's also like he's just physically impressive. He does some cool stuff. His name's Eric Watts. Not the old Eric Watts from like WCW. But like he's like a tall black dude with an afro, like super athletic. And he's probably about, I want to say like 6'7", 6'8". So just physically impressive as well. But yeah, I think it'd be cool to see him do some things. Good personality too.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time.
Actually, you know what? You guys would remember he was in Tough Enough, 2000, what was it, like the 2011, I think it was.
Hey, Carlos, why don't you keep that question when we have Sanjay Dutt on the press pass next time, ask him that, because unlike Eli, if there's somebody who even owns a pair of boots, Sanjay has watched him perform or her perform.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely remember to ask him that question.
All right. Well, thank you, Carlos. And Eli, we'll wrap it up. A quick press pass podcast for you this week. Give you the floor for a final thought.
Man, the only final thought is, tonight's impact on Pop. I guess tomorrow you guys get it in the UK and wherever else. So tune in, and then let's see where everything's going leading into Homecoming, which is coming up January 6th. And for those of you in Nashville, get your VIP passes because it's going to be a good damn time. And, of course, the shows are going to be great. So that's really all I got for you. And I'm going to enjoy the rest of my smoothie and my oatmeal here and get on with my day.
All righty. Eli, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. And media, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.